faith in God, one put himself in such a situation?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Just like Kunti Devi is praying, my dear Lord, please keep sending all these dangers, all these difficulties. Well, we don't want to, no, we don't want to avoid these things. We want these difficulties to come one after another, one after another, one after another, because by them coming, we are obliged to remember your lotus feet. And that is the safest position in this material world. Security doesn't mean bank balance and, you know, weapons. Security means having taken shelter of the Lord. Because if Krishna wants to kill you, who can save you? And if Krishna wants to save you, who can kill you? Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So just to increase that faith and understanding, one would voluntarily put himself in a dangerous situation. So they would go to the forest because it's full of wild beasts. There's nothing certain there. So Dhruva Maharaj, a little five-year-old boy, he's there performing. He's very determined. He's standing on one leg. He's doing his meditation. And then his spiritual master, Narada Muni, arrives on the scene. And seeing this young boy, despite the fact that he's so determined, he says, "My dear Dhruva," he said, "this is not a place for a five-year-old boy. This is for great yogis, ascetics come here. I do not think that you can be successful. So you should immediately go back home. You go home now, like a little boy. You go home and go to your mother now." And Dhruva Maharaj turned to him. Now he said, "I am going to stay here. You can go home if you want to. I'm going to stay here. I want to see Krishna." But actually he had the proper etiquette, actually, from Dhruva Maharaj. He received some instruction like this from Narada Muni. But he said, "My dear sir," he said, "I'm Kshatriya by nature. I cannot assimilate your instructions." He said, "These are instructions for Brahmins. I'm Kshatriya. I cannot assimilate such an instruction." So this is also instructive, that one who is in the mode of passion, in the mode of ignorance, cannot actually receive transcendental knowledge. It is not possible. It will not penetrate the heart because the modes of nature are too strong. So we have to elevate ourselves to the mode of goodness. That is the meaning of becoming Brahmins. A Brahmin is actually one who is able. Brahmana means one who has realized Brahman. And what does that mean? He's realized the Supreme Brahman, who is Krishna, ultimately. So a Brahman is one who is situated properly to be able to receive, assimilate, and practice Krishna consciousness. Of course, the Vaishnava is beyond a Brahman, because a Brahman is the mode of goodness. A devotee is Sutta Sattva. Sattva means the mode of goodness. Sutta Sattva means the mode of pure goodness. But to come in the mode of pure goodness, you can't come there. You can't make that step from ignorance and passion. You have to be in goodness. So therefore, Prabhupada said, "I am very desirous of creating a society of Brahmins, rabbinically inclined people." So you don't have to be born a Brahmin. You can become Brahmin by proper training and initiation. Just as bell metal can be changed into gold by the proper chemical process, similarly, even a common man can be turned into a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Lord by proper training and diction. It is no more wonderful a thing, no less wonderful a thing than it is to change bell metal into gold. There is a process for Lord of goodness, step into the transcendence that is possible. And the proof is right here. All these wonderful Vaishnava devotees of the Lord had so many different paths within the modes of nature, but now they're engaged and situated in devotional service. So Guru Maharaj is expressing himself like that. My dear Guru Maharaj, it's not possible for me to understand or to practice what you are saying. Because I am a Kshatriya, I am in the mode of passion. But Narada Muni was very compassionate. That is the nature of the devotees, they are very, very compassionate. So being very compassionate, he said, all right, so stay here. He said, and you follow my instructions. And then, you can see this in the personality of Raya. So this is a very important point, that anyone is qualified to become a Krishna conscious. There's a class of men in India called Shvarta Brahmanas who say that according to one's birth, one is qualified. But that's not the Lord's instructions. Chaturvanamayash Vishnam Guna Karma Vipavishaha. Krishna describes the system of Varnashram Dharma. And he's explaining Chaturvanamayash Vishnam Guna Karma. He doesn't say Janma Karma. Krishna says Janma Karma. If one understands my Janma, my birth, and my activities, he can become liberated from material existence. But Krishna doesn't say for the aspiring transcendentalist, he says, doesn't say Janma Karma Chavedi. No. Chastarvana Mayashvishtan Guna Karma Vibhogashaha. Guna Karma means according to one's qualities and one's work. One is to be known as situated within the four varnas of the four ashrams. So it's not by birth, but it's by our qualities and our activities, which can be cultivated under higher authority. So it's not that this is a very important point, because many times they point out, oh, only those who are born, but that's not Krishna's instruction. And certainly it's not the example of Narada Muni. Narada Muni is famous throughout India. He's famous throughout the three worlds. He's an eternal spaceman. Narada Muni, he can go anywhere he likes at will. He can come into the material world, he can go into spiritual world, he can come back in, out. And what is so he's the great devotee, so he's giving this practical instruction to Dhruva Maharaj. Doesn't matter your kshatriya, doesn't matter you're in the mode of passion, you accept my instructions, you can see God. You can see the Supreme Personality of God. So what shastric reference do these smarta Brahmins have? When speaking in learned circles, especially in India, in Vedic civilization, one must always refer to Shastra, Guru Shastra Sadhu. One must be learned in Shastra so that when he meets opposing elements, he can present the absolute truth. It's not based on my opinion or what I think or what you think. It's there, it's in the Shastra, and one who knows the Shastra conclusion, probably he can present Krishna as he is. Vedash Chai Savaram Avidvidyo Vedanta Vedavid Avashaham. Krishna says, I am the goal of the Veda. I am the goal of things. So, anyone has the opportunity, anyone can become Krishna conscious. Eva vipra, even yase, sutta kenanath, ye Krishna tatavis, ye guruvara. You can even become guru. You can become represented, doesn't matter. Eva vipra, even yase, sutra kenanath. Eva vipra means you're a learned person. Yuminyasi, you may be sannyasi. Even if given a sudra canada, even you are born a sudra, ye Krishna tandavis, he guru ayam. If you know the science of Krishna, you can represent him. This is Shastra. They must know this. One who knows the science of Krishna, he can become a devotee of the Lord. So where is the reference? Only those born. That's but we have to base it on Shastra. Not like Gandhi. Gandhi, because he was not actually reading Gita, he used to carry it around, but never really read it properly. At least he didn't read it under the guidance of the devotee of Krishna. Because you are my friend as well as my devotee, you can understand this transcendental science. He was speculating. So he spoke about Harijans. Harijan means the children of God. So he said, what is this that, you know, the Harijans means, he was referring to the untouchable. vegetables out of the temple. So his philosophy was, let them in. They're all children of God. Let them just come into the temple. So he tried to, they tried to force their way in. That was, there's so much history like that, where the Arijans would literally take over a temple or walk in a temple and force themselves onto the altar or something. Just disturb the Brahmins very much. But this was not the process. We also say that everyone is children of God. Vidya Vinaya Sampane Ramani Gali Hastini Sudhi Jayas Bhagicha Mandita Samadarshanaha. We also see everyone is spiritually equal. But materially there's differences. It's not all one on the material platform. There are differences. But despite those differences, by proper training and initiation, one can come to the platform of actually being Adiyajan, child of God, and be qualified to perform Vedic sacrifices, to worship the deity, to chant mantras, to preach, etc. But not sentimentally. There's a process. One must accept the process. And by accepting the process, one becomes qualified. Just like you, to become a judge, you may have the knowledge, that's all right, but you have to have the proper appointment by the legal bar in order to act like that. So there's training involved. That is the same in Krishna consciousness. Anyone can worship the deity, anyone can perform bhakti, hotra, havan, he can perform fire sacrifice, he can perform all these things. It doesn't matter if he's born in the family of dog eaters. If he takes to the chanting of the holy names and takes proper shelter of the Vaishnavas, then he can become qualified to do these things. So there's so many references, beginning with Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj, he expressed his humility. I am very fallen. I am contaminated by the mode of passion. I can't understand what you're saying. I can't follow what you're saying. So then Narada said, all right, just then you follow these simple instructions. You go to Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, you go to the forest, Madhuvan. And there you take bath in the Jamuna River 3 times a day. You cleanse yourself. Jamuna River is very clean and very pure. And you perform certain asanas, certain austerities, and you chant this mantra. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. You chant this mantra, and in a very short time, you will become successful. So, Dhruva Maharaj was very determined to follow the instructions of his spiritual master, therefore he was successful. How is one successful in spiritual life? Yasya prasad, bhagavad prasadam, yasya prasad, natiti, gutomi. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, one cannot make any advancement. Therefore, I should always remember my spiritual master, and at least 3 times daily, I should chant his glories. So, how does one make progress in Krishna? Is it based on any material qualification? Does one have to really be intelligent? Does one have to be very kanayavi? Like, in the material, if you want to be successful, you have to have a lot of material qualities. But if you want to be successful in Krishna, everyone has equal opportunity. One may come a fool, maybe one may come to Krishna consciousness intelligent, one may come this, that. That has nothing to do with it. How is one successful? He's very determined to follow the instructions of his spiritual master. One can make progress in Krishna consciousness. And how is that? Because the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Lord. He is bearing the mercy of the Lord, just like a cloud carries the water from the ocean. So the spiritual master carries the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his instructions carry great potency. So when he gives those instructions, along with the instruction of the spiritual master, comes the power to execute it. Along with the instruction of the guru comes the ability to execute that instruction. So one should never think that he's been given instruction which he cannot follow. Prabhupada has given us perfect instructions and complete instructions, and if we follow them, then we will become Krishna conscious. So along with the instruction comes the ability to execute it. The instructions are full of great potency. Ramanda Bhamadikon, Bhagavanji, Guru Krishna Prasad, I Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity is transmigrating from universe to universe, from from species of life to species of life. And finally, by the mercy of the Lord, he comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who does what? Who plants the seed of devotional service in the heart of his disciple. The bhakti lata bij, the seed of pure devotion, he plants within the heart. Then he gives the process whereby that seed can fructify. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu shravanam. What is that seed of love of God? Remembrance of Krishna. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. That is the ultimate instruction. Always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So how to do that? You wanted the seed planted by your Guru Maharaj. By his mercy, the seed is there. So, you water it. How do you water? Shravanam kirtanam. Hearing and chanting. And then what will come? Vishnu shmaranam. Remembrance of Krishna. So what is the first instruction of the spiritual master? Chant 16 rounds a day. That is his first instruction. And follow the four regulations. So that is, if we, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If we follow that instruction seriously, how many times the Prabhupada say in his letters, or his books, just chant Hare Krishna, follow these four regulatory principles, take up the process of devotional service. I'm sure that you will go back to God in this lifetime. It's so simple, but it's not cheap. Krishna consciousness is very simple and sublime, easy and sublime, but it's not cheap. Simple instruction, but that simple instruction we must take as our life and soul. Not that I chant 10 rounds or 12 rounds, or I chant, I don't chant Hare Krishna, I chant something which resembles that. That will never work. But if we take the simple instruction, execute it to the best of our ability, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, comes from the banyan tree. A banyan tree is very big. Actually, a banyan tree, there's a banyan tree in Bengal, which is near Calcutta. How far is Mayapur from Calcutta? 100 kilometers. So there's a banyan tree which goes from Calcutta halfway to Mayapur. Do you know the banyan tree? Have them here? Where do we see them? Australia, we saw them. The banyan tree, it goes up, then it goes out, the branches go out, and then the branches come down, and they go into the ground, they become roots. Then they come back up again. They go down, it's like up and down like this. They're going down. So this very, very old, old banyan tree. It goes for 50 kilometers. That's how big the tree is. Big tree. That's like our material attachment. Attachments are like that, they, you know, like a banyan. Krishna explains the banyan tree of material existence, going up and down to pull out those roots. Anyway, that's a very big thing. I mean, if it's 50 miles, who can hardly imagine? You can't even hardly see the end of it. But where did it all come from? It came from a tiny little seed. Have you ever seen a banyan tree seed? It's not very big. It's not like this. So within that little seed is a tree that's 50 miles long. So within the instructions of the spiritual master is the whole spiritual world. So therefore, the third offense of the holy name is to disobey the instructions of the spiritual master. One should never take the instructions of the spiritual master lightly. One should take them very seriously. Because by following those instructions, one can actually go back home, back to God. And the whole spiritual world is contained. Prabhupada's instructions are not very difficult, actually. So, we should make those, just as Dhruva Maharaj, he with great determination, he followed those instructions of Narada Muni. He went to Vrindavan, he lived in Mathurabhan, he bathed in the Jumuna every day, and he chanted Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He was very, very, very determined. Because he was very determined to follow and not deviate any way, means, or manner, he achieved success. So we can also achieve same success by the grace of our spiritual master. We follow those instructions very carefully. gasping for air just a few seconds before he died. Going through the formality and curling sessions, so then the little boy asked Prabhupada, you preach this Krishna conscious movement in the English speaking language. So there's a simple instruction. But Prabhupada, in his humility, he expressed that at first I did not take up this instruction because I was a householder and I had my wife and my family, and I was taking care of them with my pharmaceutical business. And so I kept this instruction in my heart, but I didn't actually take it up immediately. But then one day Prabhupada was reading Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada was reading the Bhagavad Gita with a commentary by Vishnam Chagavati Thakur. And in one particular verse of the purport, Vishnam Chagavati Thakur quotes that one should take the instruction of his spiritual master as his life and soul. And he gave the analogy, just like one cannot separate consciousness from the body, otherwise there will be death. Symptoms of life from the body, otherwise there will be death. So similarly, one cannot separate the instructions of his spiritual master from his very life. Because life is Krishna consciousness. That's life. Just like Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, one who has life, he'll preach. A Vaishnava who has life, who's meaning Krishna consciousness, he'll preach. And other than that, it's not life. It's just, it's death. Actually, not being in Krishna consciousness is some faint glimmer of what could appear to be life or consciousness, but actually it's just like death. Because why? What is their consciousness based on? Matter. They're absorbed in the material conception of life, that I am this body, and the goal of my life is material enjoyment. But what is the principle of that material enjoyment? Trying to squeeze some pleasure out of matter. So they're constantly absorbed in matter. And what is this dead matter? Do you have a relationship with this matter? No. It's simply dead, inert, material energy. So that's not life. If you're relating to this matter, you're just like a dead body. Practically speaking, like a dead body. The karmis are they're lifeless. We had a few guests last night, with all due respect, because they came to the temple. Because they were not participating very actively. Even when we were lecturing, I was noticing they were sleeping. Or they were, I don't know, they were sleeping with their eyes open or something. There was no reaction there. I like this. So they were, neither were they hearing, neither were they chanting. I guess the best they did was prashada. They became a little alive and they started taking prashada, and right, some movement started. So they were taking birth, so to speak. Because their consciousness is completely absorbed in the material conception of life and the relating of the dead, so that's not life. Real life is Krishna consciousness. We're experiencing the joy of life because we're on the spiritual platform. So how do we remain on that platform? By following instructions of the spiritual master. Make just like one cannot separate life from the body, so one cannot separate the instructions of the spiritual master from his very life. And to that point that we're actually able to surrender to those instructions and follow them, we become more and more enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. We become more and more enlivened in Krishna consciousness. And to that degree that we're not able to follow those instructions, we become less enthusiastic. Basically, we become less enthusiastic. It's not that by breaking regular principles we're going to really, you know, get to enjoy or something. You know, it's not that we're going to like experience. It'll be a cheap thrill, but it's certainly not the real thing. It's not the real thing. The real thing is Krishna consciousness. The other thing is not the real. It's an imitation of the real thing. That we should always remember. The only reason we leave Krishna consciousness is to, well, basically what? Break the four-legged principles. It's the only thing you don't find here. Everything is in devotional service. So if we leave, it's to try to, again, squeeze that matter. Try to squeeze a drop of water out of stone. Very difficult. So we should be sure and certain that we are properly situated. And the more that we can surrender to and follow the instructions of our spiritual master and our Param Guru, Sri Prabhupada, then the more enlightened we'll become, the more secure we'll become in Krishna consciousness. It's a wonderful process. It may be a little difficult sometimes, but always remember that material life is impossible. tonight, we'll try to get some appropriate glorification of Prabhupada. Prabhupada had a particular point to make. So he said, no, he said, they are worshipping you because I am free from sex desire. So, there may be some difficult, other difficulties also when we one first takes the process of devotional service. Those difficulties may be there. But again, along with the instruction of the guru comes the ability to execute it. So if we follow the instructions very carefully, then we'll have the strength. The Balaram, as we mentioned yesterday, Lord Balaram. Bala means strength. So Balarama, that Supreme Personality who gives us the strength. Daivyesha gunamayi mamamaya dhiratiya. He says himself, this material energy is very difficult to overcome. God says it, he's saying, okay, it's very, very difficult. Spiritual strength to overcome our material mind and senses. We get that strength. And what does it mean to accept the spiritual master? Is it just something like, you know, I accept you? No, it means to follow his instructions. So if we actually want to put Prabhupada in the center, if we actually want to surrender to our spiritual master, then we have to follow their instructions. By following the instructions, we'll get the strength. I mean, Jagan and Madhai did. And you saw what they did in the play yesterday. They stabbed that old woman, they cut her head off. I mean, I don't think anybody here did anything like that. He had that big knife. So they were very fallen, degraded. So also, we've come from a certain background, but nonetheless, there's great potency. Never, just like it stated, that one of the offenses against the holy name is to think that the glories of chanting Hare Krishna are an imagination or an exaggeration. We hear so many pastimes in Vedic literature how so many people have been delivered by chanting. Once there was a person, he was not a devotee, he was a debauchee. And he used to give problems to the devotee. So one day he got to be old man, and he was on his deathbed, moments away from his death, and he had a change of heart. He never once chanted the name of Krishna. He never served the Vaishnavas. He'd never done a pious thing in his life. But he had a change of heart at the last moment. He said, well, I've heard from these Vaishnavas that if you chant Hare Krishna, then you can go back to Godhead. So he told his servant, will you please go to the market and buy me some japa mala? So the servant went to the market and to buy the japa mala. And on the way back, before he got back, his master died. Poor old man, he died. So the Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas both came. The Yamadutas were saying, the Vishnudutas, what are you guys doing here? I mean, this man never did anything Krishna conscious in his entire life. So the Vishnudutas said, yes, but we're going to take this man. And the Vishnudutas said, yes, because he desired to chant the holy name, therefore we're taking him. So someone may hear a story like this and think, you know, well, okay, you know, this is just some type of propaganda to get us, you know, to swear to God and religion is the opiate of the people and so forth. You know, you need a crutch, so. We hear how, you know, the Muslims, they chant, ha-ha-ha, ha-ha, when they're being killed by the boar, that they'll get delivered. I used to live in Egypt, think that it's an exaggeration. The glories of chanting Hare Krishna won't make so much advancement. Just by sincerely executing this way, to be a little patient, of course, again, the example of the man and the woman. The woman wants a child, naturally. It's the nature of ladies. They desire children. So, but it takes time. It takes at least 9 months. So, it may be a little bit difficult, but we should be patient. Maybe you can't see how you're making so much advancement, but others can see. Just like if you don't see somebody in your family for a long time, you have a little brother, a little sister, if you come back after 10 years, whoa, you've changed so much. Have I? And then, you know, like, isn't it? If you're living with somebody, you don't see them change very much. But if you come away after some long time, then you can see, oh, you've changed so much, like that. So we may not be able to perceive, but it is a fact. We are making progress daily. Don't underestimate the potency of chanting Hare Krishna. I'm going on chanting now 10, 15, 20 years, but still, I have so many material attachments. That's all right. Do you realize what type of stockpile you have? If you can actually realize what you've done in this material world since time immemorial, you go back infinite amount of time you've existed, so much of that time you've been here in the world. So, you know, chanting Hare Krishna can destroy volumes of sinful activities. Volume, like here's a volume, right? So here's volumes of sinful activities. How many volumes do we have in Srimad Bhagavatam? There's about 30 volumes. So volumes of sinful activities. You just chant Hare Krishna, volume erased. Just like you have your computer program, right? So you've got all kinds of information there. You push the delete button. Are you sure you want to delete? Yes or no? Yes. Whole thing is wiped out. Whole thing is wiped out. So, the computer. But we have to understand how many volumes there are, how many chapters we have in our existence. This is one chapter. But how many chapters are there going back? Every day, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama. It's not that we're just destroying all that information and their resultant reactions. That's not the real glory of chanting. That may be something wonderful, but even more wonderful is the fact that we're awakening our love of God. Because through prayaschitta, or atonement, various types of atonement, which are recommended in Vedic literature, one can accomplish to a greater or lesser degree the same thing. By traveling to holy places of pilgrimage, by performing austerities and penances, reading the Vedic literatures, etc., etc., one can destroy his karma. But unless one uproots the desire for material activity from the heart, he'll be obliged to again create karma. So therefore, Haridas Thakur, when he was talking with the Brahmins at their house, and Gopal Chakravarti was there, that tax collector, everyone was talking about the glories of Hare Krishna. Oh, there's so many. You can get moksha. Oh, moksha if you chant Harinam. Ah, moksha. And you can get freedom from all sinful reactions by chanting the Naam. Oh, everyone was so surprised. And Dr. Amidas, Hare Krishna, this is not very significant. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. This is not so wonderful. He said, these things are concomitant factors of chanting the name of God. That is concomitant factor. He said the side result of chanting Hare Krishna. He said the real glory of the holy name is that one can awaken his love for God, his Krishna prema. So therefore, another offense against the holy name is to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna to be like the ritualistic activities mentioned in the Vedic scriptures. That's called karma kanda. To consider that the section of the Vedas, karma kanda, which deal with pious and impious activities and actions and reactions, how to free oneself from reactions. To think that chanting Hare Krishna is just like another ritualistic activity in the Vedas, that's also an offense. Because by chanting Hare Krishna, one, not only, even in the non-bas, even in the impure stage of chanting, one gets moksha and freedom from all sinful reactions. Non-bas, that Hare Das, he said that. He said, let me just tell you one thing. He said, even impure chanting, I'm not just talking about sudhana. Sudhana means the pure chanting. I'm talking about the clearing stage. Second stage of chanting. That stage, when you chant Hare Krishna, even in pure chanting, Ambas, then you get moksha. You also get moksha for natural reactions. So Gomal Chakravarti, he made the greatest offense by blaspheming Haridas Thakur. He said it is not true that one can achieve moksha through Nambas, then your nose is going to fall off. So he immediately disqualified himself, because it stated that even if one offends Krishna, he can be delivered. But if one offends Krishna's name, there's no chance of delivering, because the name is all merciful. So if you take, if you bite the hand that feeds you, so to speak, if you take advantage of that causeless mercy, the holy name, or even Jagai Mata can be delivered, and nothing can save you, so I'm sorry. So you can offend Krishna, okay, but if you offend his name, no chance of delivering. That's a nectar of devotion. So immediately he disqualified himself, Gopal Chakravarti Thakur, Gopal Chakravarti nonsense, by blaspheming a devotee. The first offense against the holy name is to blaspheme devotees who dedicated their lives to preaching the glories of the holy name. So immediately he disqualified himself. He disqualified himself on so many accounts, but anyway. So it's a fact that just by chanting Hare Krishna, one can not only free himself from all the sinful reactions, but his ecstatic prema, his love for God, will become fully manifest. So, yasya devi para bhaktir yasya devi tata guru tasyati kaya karta prakashante mahatmana. One who has full faith in both the spiritual master and the Lord, the full purport of Vedic literatures is revealed. So we may not understand so much. Still, if you just chant and follow Prabhupada's instructions, you can become perfect. It's like you take a pill. You don't know how the pill is working, but it is working. So even one may not be very intelligent, although we should know the books, we should know how to preach, we should know the philosophy to protect ourselves, others against Maya. But even if that's not the case, still, if one just accepts the instruction, they can become perfected. So therefore, Prabhupada says, I follow my Guru Maharaj blindly. What does that mean? I follow him. Does that mean Prabhupada has blind faith? No. Faith means to put your trust in something sublime. So what could be more sublime than the Lord's representative? So put our trust in the Lord's representative. So in that sense, that's not blind faith. But once we put our faith in, we make a decision that I will put my faith in you, then there's no question of going back on our word. Prabhupada said, you have promised in front of the deities, you have promised in front of the fire, you promised in front of the spiritual master, you promised in front of the Vaishnavas, you will follow these four legged principles, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. You promised. One time a devotee came into Prabhupada's room, I can't do it anymore. Prabhupada said, but you promised. We take things so cheaply in Kali Yuga. We take a vow, we take a promise so cheaply. But don't make this mistake in Krishna consciousness. Don't approach the Lord's representative with that material mentality. When you're ready, then you approach and you make your promise, keep your promise. Prabhupada said, whatever you do, never leave this movement. Never leave ISKCON. Never leave. Even there's problems, Prabhupada said, he quoted, England, with all thy faults, I love thee. So what are the faults in ISKCON? They're growing pains, nothing more. It's like a child has growing pains on the weak bones. So we're going through some growing pains. That's nothing. Don't ever leave. And once we make our vows, never break your vows. The devotee came in very nonchalantly. I can't do it anymore, Prabhupada. That wasn't Prabhupada's mood. But you promised me. You promised me you would follow this. That's all Prabhupada said. He didn't preach to him. He just couldn't understand. But we're products of Kali Yuga. So, you know, we take everything cheaply. So Krishna consciousness is very easy, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. So it's very easy to become Krishna. What is the difficulty? Prabhupada said at New Mayapur in France, we were sitting with Prabhupada. He said, so what is the difficulty in becoming Krishna conscious? And he was testing the actual practice itself. He said, what is the difficulty? You chant. You dance. You take the shot. You keep association with the devotees. You do some service. What is the difficulty? I know, you know, we're all young boys, you know, 21, 22, just, you know, it's that we remain chaste to Prabhupada or our Guru Maharaj like that, we receive full protection. Just like the beauty of a woman actually is her chastity. A woman is attractive by her shyness and her chastity to her husband. So if a woman is chaste to her husband, then the husband is naturally inclined to give her protection. But if she becomes like a prostitute, he kicks her away. Actually, no man ultimately likes a prostitute. If a man actually wants a wife, he wants a chaste woman as much as 39 and so on. If she's chaste, then he's naturally inclined to give her protection. Women need protection. So a man would be naturally inclined to give her Krishna conscious instruction and material shelter if she's chaste. So similarly, if we are chaste to the spiritual master, we receive full protection. So chaste means to follow the instructions. How is the word so difficult? There's four kinds of disciples. The fourth class disciple, he gets the instruction and he just, I'm not going to follow that. He's to be considered like the refuge, the stool of the father. He gets the instruction, forget it. It's not even nice to talk about, but anyway, it has happened that our devotees have rejected their spiritual master. So, then third class disciple is one who gets the order. Okay, all right, I'll do it, okay. I'll do it. Third class. Second class, he gets the instruction, yes, sir. Yes, Guru Maharaj. To the best of his ability, he carries out that instruction. Second class. So what is first class? First class is one who anticipates the order of his spiritual master and carries it out without even being asked. That's first class. Prabhupada said, print and distribute in as many languages as possible my books all over the world. Then our Krishna consciousness will be successful. So Prabhupada gave that instruction. And a few devotees, quite a number of devotees then and now, take that instruction very seriously. So, anticipating the instruction, because the instruction was given some time ago, so knowing what Prabhupada wants, the spiritual master gives the general principle and so the disciple to execute the detail. So, anticipating Prabhupada's pleasure and desire, we take up that instruction. We know that Prabhupada wants us to maintain the deities very nicely. We know he wants us to keep the temple very clean, including the Brahmacharya ashram. Prabhupada said that the kitchen should be as clean as the altar because Radharani is actually cooking in there for Krishna. But that doesn't mean other parts of the temple shouldn't be as clean. So every room should be as clean as the altar. So Brahmacharya is clean. If we went right now to the Brahmacharya room, would it be as clean as the altar? We'll go see afterwards. Otherwise, fasting the whole day. So we should be very expert at carrying out all these instructions of the spiritual master, and the mercy will come. So I blindly follow my Guru Maharaj. Does it mean? That means that whatever instruction is there, I fully surrender and carry that out to the best of my ability. Yashadevi Parabhaktir. So, anticipating the instruction. That is first class fun. So, in the beginning, some difficulty may be there, just like a father tolerates the antics of his young child in the beginning. But after some time, it's to be understood the boy grows up, he's supposed to be more responsible. So as we grow and mature in Krishna consciousness, we should become the pride of our spiritual master. Actually, the worth of a guru is seen in his disciples. Because guru means one who's accepted the responsibility of training his disciples in Krishna consciousness. So if we actually love our spiritual master and we actually want to glorify him, what is the best glorification? That we come before him, Vyas Puja, and we offer some flowers and some incense. Yes, that's very nice as an expression, but the best thing is that we become Krishna conscious. That's what Prabhupada expects of all of us, that we become Krishna conscious. That is the best gift that we can give to the Lord and his devotees, that we actually take up the process, take their instructions